Okay. Shh. We're going to ask you to take a seat if you want to converse. You're welcome to do so outside and come on back in. And so I'll call the October meeting of the Planning and Program, Metro's Planning and Programming Committee to order, and we'll have a roll call.
Director Fasana.
Here.
Director Du Bois.
Here.
Chair O'Connor.
Here.
Quorum is present.
Excuse me. And we do expect others to join us. With the rain out there, we have folks running a little late. We'll begin with item number one, which has to do with establishing bench contracts.
Yes, Madam Chair. Doug Vailing, Metro Highway Program. With me is Don Howey, who makes all good things happen in the highway program. This is an item to authorize a bench contract. We have been working closely with the industry for a while. The focus of this bench contract is primarily towards smaller businesses who have never had an opportunity to work with us here at Metro in the past. We established a bench contract in six areas. We had just tremendous response. We went over, I think it was 106 proposals, and from 75 different firms. We're here to recommend today that 62 of those firms be selected in some area within those six areas in the bench. The contract amount for the total bench is anticipated to be $8 million at a three-year bench. And
second.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, we do have one speaker, so why don't you hang on to that motion, and I'll ask Dr. Clyde Williams to come up and speak for 1 minute.
Dr. Clyde Williams, 4115 Barrett Road, El Sereno, Northeast LA. We're always concerned when you send out requests for qualifications. One of the qualifications would be past experience. Has there been any attempt to solicit inputs as to the public experience with the various consultants? Last year, year before, we had considerable experience with Sierra Group on the SR 710 North Extension tunneling feasibility. And it was not a good experience. We do not know how much of that was from the consultant and how much of that was from the direction of the staff. So we would highly recommend that in the future, any RFQ should be addressed also to the major public entities outside of the governments. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Dr. Williams. That concludes the public input on this item. We had a motion from Director Fasana and second by Director Du Bois. So without objection, that is motion passes.
Thank you.
Next item, item number two, has to do with advancing $7.2 million in Measure 3% funds to the Southern California Regional Rail Authority. And
Madam
Taylor?
Madam Chair, I will make a report if requested.
You're ready to move for approval?
Okay.
Second. And we do have a speaker, though. We do have Dr. Clyde Williams again.
Good morning, or good afternoon. This morning, Dr. Clyde Williams, El Sereno. This morning there was a web conference. It talked about rail, but one of the statistics that came up was that rail has about half of the carbon footprint that trucks do. So I'd highly recommend that major extensions of the rail, especially in Antelope Valley or along the SR 14 and other areas within your jurisdiction, should be accelerated even more than the highway programs. And by the way, Alameda East is in the highway program, so I would highly recommend that you extend more monies on to the rail system for freight. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Williams. So we had, I believe, a motion from Director Fasana, second by Director Du Bois. So then without objection, then no objection, then item two has been approved. We'll move on to item three, which has to do with the adopting the 2010 Congestion Management Program.
Good afternoon. I'm Brad McAllister, here to report on our congestion management program. We're required to periodically update our congestion management program. The current update The overall framework of the program stays the same. We've been required to update some of the data. So we've updated our highway counts, arterial transit data, and land use. And in general, we're seeing kind of the highway system operate as a mature system. We are seeing some improvements in the arterial congestion performance. In transit, we're actually able to capture the benefit of the transit system that we've been building over the last 20 years. So we're able to see the benefit of what we've been doing. And we're reporting on kind of the land use growth around the county. We are continuing to work on the congestion mitigation fee with the COGS and the cities, and we'll report back to you as we proceed with that. And the CMP is also used by SCAG for federal congestion management system purposes. There seems to be a lot of interest at the federal level in updating congestion management requirements, so we'll be tracking that process in the future as we continue to evolve the program. And with that, we recommend your approval. We'll be happy to answer any questions.
Hey, thank you. We do have one speaker, Dr. Clyde Williams.
Dr. Clyde Williams, El Sereno. One of the things that it did point out was that the congestion is severe on the freeways and not so bad on the arterials. That's kind of interesting. We will be reviewing the full report rather than just the executive summary that was provided. We would like to emphasize that, well, number one, that actually transit has been going on for 30 years, not just 20 years, Blue Line. And 25 years ago, I was working on the Red Line. So can we take any information from this? It said that there's not going to be any economic or financial impacts from this. However, in the background, and it refers to it, the congestion fees. When are we going to start seeing congestion fees? And are congestion fees tax assessments? I don't know.
Thank you. Thank you, Dr.
Madam
Williams.
Chair, I'll approve the item. I do have a question.
Okay, please.
There's been a lot of work that I don't think about it, but studies of the fees program. And I know, thanks to your leadership and what has really generated a host of opposition, I think you have an opportunity now to get out and move the next step forward to the next
step. And an expenditure.
I can't hear you.
Hang on. There have been a lot of. Yes, we're working on kind of what we call a rolling agenda for the program.
Okay,
thank you. So we do plan to move so that as one COG is ready and is ready to proceed, that we can proceed COG by COG rather than waiting for all COGs to be there at the same time. And we'd be happy to keep the committee apprised of our progress as we work with COGs. Thank you.
Okay.
Apparently the microphone is up. So it's at the system?
Okay. So for all of you.
Okay, mine is on, I believe. Yes.
There's an all. Do you have an all mute button?
I never knew there was such a button. I
there is.
Read it.
Power of the secretary. Yes.
We've all been muted.
No, I think mine is working.
The lights are. Chair has the power. Okay.
The chair muted me. I knew it. Yeah, it's on.
Thank you. Sorry. And I don't know if the motion was seconded or not, but I will certainly second the motion.
Hang on a sec, Diane. Well,
okay. Let's fix it.
I'm on. If you're all off, that's okay.
Okay. Thank you all for while we had our great technical assistants come by and help us with the audio system. So, Director DuBois, you made the motion?
I think Fasana made the motion, and I'll second it.
Oh, okay. And we have that. Then without objection, we'll have adopted the congestion management plan, and we'll move on to item number 5, which has to do with the regional connector.
Number four.
Oh, I'm sorry. See, this is why we have the assistant CEO next to me to help me count. Okay, item number 4, which is entering into agreements related to Metro's Hollywood and Vine transit-oriented development. Mr. Mollier, welcome.
It's up here. Good afternoon. We're asking for authorization to pursue some amendments to the ground lease and covenants and conditions at Hollywood and Vine. Principally, this will give us a larger bike station. It will involve closing the public restroom, which has been extraordinarily problematic there, and will enable also the hotel and condominium to add a restaurant, which will be helpful to their operations as well. When we did the math, and this is partly done through one of our consultants, Tom Jarofsky, we indicated that what the value of the rights that Metro is giving up minus the rights that are being accommodated for Hollywood and Vine left a disparity of about $92,000 plus, and that involves a one-time payment to us. That money is unencumbered and so could be used at the board's discretion to improve the bike facility, which is now something close to 2.5 times as big as originally planned. So we're asking for these developments and be pleased to answer any questions that the board may have. There are some illustrations here should anybody want to take a look at what they look like. The space to which it's going to move is actually right on Vine Street around the corner. It's probably a little closer than if you park there and walk to the subway, so it's a convenient spot, I believe, and now is over 1,000 square feet as opposed to the 400 or so square feet of the original plan. And this was done in conjunction with some conversations with the biking community, and there is ongoing roundtable discussions. The next one, I believe, is November 5th with the bike community as well for further improvements to the area.
Thank you. We do have one speaker. We have Stephen Box. Okay, welcome, Mr. Box.
Thank you very much. My name is Stephen Box. I live in Hollywood, and I have for the board some schematics of some renderings that we've done for the Hollywood Bike Hub. The Hollywood and Vine Metro Station has within it the potential to be a flagship transit-oriented development. Unfortunately, it opened with meager facilities for cyclists and a soft commitment to accessibility and connectivity with the local community. This would be a tremendous opportunity to take the proposed Hollywood Bike Hub and to use it not just as an improvement, which is a significant improvement, but to use it as an opportunity to establish transit-oriented development standards. We've been working with the mayor's office, with board member Katz, with the local community, with pedestrians, cyclists, and nonprofit organizations that support mobility to establish transit-oriented development standards that would guide developers in the metro as we work forward on the transit-oriented development projects that are in place, so that we really have a robust toolbox of opportunities to support pedestrians, cyclists, and the local community and the development of transit-oriented projects. Thank you very much for your time. I would ask, though, that you consider adding to this particular proposal or motion a commitment to use this as a pilot project for the development of those TOD standards. Thank you very much for your consideration.
Okay, thank you. That concludes the public input on the item. I have Director Katz. Question?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I actually just wanted to amend in the discussion we just had about having staff develop the Hollywood Bike Hub as a demonstration project, without repeating all the comments that were just made, but make that part of what we're doing here, because I think it is a good opportunity to create a model that could be used in other parts. As the gentleman said, we want to make sure we're employing all the tools in the toolbox.
So,
Director Fasano.
Yeah, I concur with that, and I think as we look at item 10 with regard to the bike plan, that this work should also be incorporated into the next report that we get back on item 10. I do have a question in terms of the restroom. If I read this correctly, what we're looking at is that there will be a restroom put in with the restaurant for patrons. Is that what we're looking at?
Yeah, that's correct. The public restroom work sometimes it's extraordinarily difficult. This is one where really the our patrons were prevented from really using it for a variety of reasons.
Right.
And so it really didn't serve its purpose. There are ample facilities in the area. It's just that it turns out to be one of those things that would have to be funded to about a 50-time level to even come close to accommodating its original intent.
Let me ask as a follow-up question. It's not related to this approval, but if I could just get maybe I'll ask you just quickly, how much revenue does Metro get off of our lease arrangements here that are available for operations for this project?
This project particularly or overall?
This project in particular.
This in particular, we're at about $800,000 annually, and it grows as it is reset throughout the years. And we don't own all of the property, as you might know. A number of these were sold as part of the condominium project, and part of it is devoted, of course, to public space. So as it said, overall the program brings in about $16 million yearly on transit-oriented development so far.
Thank you.
Director DePoyes.
I do have a question that perhaps was somewhat answered by the answer you gave, Director Fasana. There must be a cost to this. Where does the money come from to have this facility, the hub?
The hub, that would have to be funded separately by Metro. As I said, part of this swap will generate $92,000. We do have the space, which is now ours, so there's no payment there. So the space is there. There is $92,000. Metro does have separately, through the planning department, a fairly robust bicycle area, and that would be addressed by them, but that would have to be funded. Anything further, should the board, for example, decide to use the $92,000 here, anything further would have to be funded by Metro separately.
And would we have any idea of what this would cost?
That would be theirs. It depends on how it's done. I mean, one of the ways to do it, of course, is to try and get a vendor to run it as a business. There are a number of examples, for example, in Long Beach, where it is run successfully that way. Part of that depends on demand. There's certainly ample space to do it, and that would be something you'd have to put the pencil to.
It seems to me it's a great idea to have something besides just an empty place to put bikes. But
yeah, I agree.
I want to make sure that we don't go down the path of having a wonderful idea and agreeing that it is great and we should do it, and then not have any funding. So.
Yeah, there are ongoing bicycle roundtable forums. As I said, I think the next one is November 5th, and so I think they're going to explore that. Part of that is also developing bicycle standards, which I think will address some of the questions Mr. Box brought up about what we should do in each of them. Each of our developments to accommodate cycling, which will be different in each development, of course, because they vary widely in size.
But there is untapped funding in the cycling arena at this point in time. Is that
what you're saying? I don't know. That's literally not my area. It runs through the planning department. Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you. That was my concern.
Okay.
We'll try to get you an answer though to that last question. Okay.
Okay. Do we have a motion?
Move approval.
With the
tops of the TOD information.
Okay, then seeing no objection, that I approve item 4 and look forward to learning more about how the bicycle program planning works. And now we move on to item number 5, which is the Regional Connector Transit Corridor Project Draft Environmental Impact Statement EIR report. Welcome.
Good afternoon, directors. Martha Wellborn, Countywide Planning. And I have with me here Diego Cardoso from Planning and Girish Roy from Construction to answer your questions. We have a brief presentation to run through, and fundamentally we are here with 3 recommendations that we're requesting your action on today. The first is to accept the draft EIR. Second is to consider the recommended fully underground alternative as the LPA, the locally preferred alternative. And part of that recommendation includes excluding one station, the 5th and Flower Street station. Lastly, there's a series of actions that will authorize the CEO to extend consultant contracts to complete the final EIS and EIR. Those are both for the environmental team, Camp Dresser McKee, and for the outreach team, the Robert Group. Now, just to give you a refresher on the project, there were the background, as you know, is that the regional connector is the missing link in the light rail system, which connects the gold, which will ultimately connect the gold to the blue lines, and further beyond that. There were five alternatives that were studied. Of course, the no build and the TSM are at the top of the list, and then three built schemes that you can move to the next one, Diego. One was primarily at grade, the other was primarily underground, and the LPA is the fully underground alternative that is, you might say, why this LPA? That the technical reasons that are paramount in this consideration are that this connector is really a system-wide connector. It's not just serving this area. It's the trains will be running at 2.5-minute headways, so the volume of the trains is really significant, and the impacts on the area, the potential traffic impacts, are considerable, or would be considerable if it were at grade. So locating it underground is recommended. You can go to the next. The just some of the benefits of the project, which you may know well. First of all, it's running 90,000 passengers daily. You can see that there are new transit riders, 17,000. Some would switch from bus to light rail. That's about 20,000. There's a considerable saving in time for the passengers, and in fare costs as well to the passengers. And the cost effectiveness, which is a measure that the FTA is very focused on, is very favorable. Even with the four stations, it's favorable. It's at $16.77, but with three, it improves down to $14. $25 is the benchmark that the FTA uses. Go on to the next. Now, project costs. I know there's been confusion in the past about these costs, and the approved project budget as listed in the LRTP, as you can see there in the center of the slide, is $1.073 billion. The Measure R expenditure plan carried a different figure of 1.32. These are both escalated figures, and they're escalated to different dates, and that's partly what some of the confusion is. The current capital cost estimated for three stations, as you can see, is 1.366. It's also an escalated figure, and that was the number that was used in the new start submittal that went in a few months ago. The we're starting with the new starts is tagged at a 50% match, but it's possible that it can go up to 60% because of the cost effectiveness numbers that this one is yielding. Again, you see the 1.366, that refers to the 60%. I think this is just repeating what I just said. The local match funding sources is, if it's 50-50, is about $540 million year of expenditure. The next one, there are included in that 1.366 number are $150 million of items that we are considering system-wide improvements. Frankly, it's arguable that the entire project is a system-wide improvement, but more specifically, these elements improve the entire light rail system, and they total up to $150 million. That's included in the 1.366, so you know. And then back to the project funding. Again, this is a repeat, but it's showing the escalated years attached to those funding dates. And we are proposing, obviously, beginning this effort, if you approve, to go after some intensive value engineering to make sure during the PE phase that we can bring these costs into line. I think the team already has some concepts of how to do that. So there'll be some alignment considerations and other elements for value engineering. Might go on to, yeah, the comment period ended on the 18th. I think that was Monday, right? Mm-hmm. And the comments that we have received, and I'm sure there'll be some people to speak today, there's strong support for the fully underground. There's obviously concern about construction impacts. We hear that on every project. Also, a request, interesting request that stations be identified by district rather than by street names. And some people are still supporting the 5th and Flower station, which we understand, and that's come up as a consideration. So the last slide, I think moving forward, we did hold two public hearings, though they were very well attended, and I guess the number of comments received in writing was 246. So next steps would be to proceed into the final EIS-EIR stage, during which we will respond to all the comments and consider all of the concerns raised by the public during the draft stage, and continue with value engineering, risk assessment, more outreach. The target date is summer of 2011 for the final coming back to you. So with that, we're happy to answer your questions.
Thank you. We have a question from Director Fasano.
Yes. In terms of the where this project would meet up at Alameda, I've understood that there might be some fairly tight turns in there. We evaluated that this can be done before you go too much further into the full environmental impact report. Have we kind of worked the turns and some of the other issues that we have here?
There is, I'll lead out, but then I think Gira should address it. There is a very tight turn. It happens to be right at the station. So the one advantage is the trains are slowing down anyway to come into the station and make a full stop there. But I'll leave it to the...
Yes, at the beginning of the PE phase, we will look into smoothing out those curves and make sure that it meets our criteria. Right now, the trains are coming to the station, so it's coming at a slow speed. So it's not an issue. And we worked with our operational, and they also accepted this.
So it's not a fatal flaw at this point yet?
You're right.
Okay.
I think that there's a number of analyses to be done on that issue. One is the physical ability of the train to make the curve approaching the station. But we'll also do some modeling on how it will work overall, given the capacity that we're seeking to achieve and given those constraints, so that when we come back in the future, we'll be able to tell you how well it will or won't.
Get any adjustments that might be recommended.
Okay, if there are no other questions, I'll open the public hearing portion of this item. We have about 19 speakers, so everybody has 1 minute, and I'll call a few names so that if you could be ready to step up to follow each person, so we can speed this along a little bit. We'll begin with Wilbur Takashima, who'll be followed by Wilson Liu, and after that, Hiroshi Yamaguchi. Yamuchi. You can help me with your name. Okay, welcome, Mr. Takashima.
My name is Wilbur Takashima, excuse me, and I'm a member of the board of the Little Tokyo Community Council. I fully support the concept of the regional connector, as it is a uniquely critical component of a sorely needed rail transit system. However, I can support only the fully underground, locally preferred alternative. Any other build options are completely unacceptable, as they will create environmental chaos and long-term difficulties for the Little Tokyo community. My support for the fully underground alternative comes with the following caveats. Ensure that the Little Tokyo community stakeholders have a full seat at the table when developing and approving any impact mitigation measures. Ensure that the Little Tokyo community stakeholders are fully involved in the execution of the mitigation monitoring plan, and ensure that businesses within the Little Tokyo community are provided with a secure safety net, including especially the establishment of a business compensation fund that will assist the businesses in Little Tokyo in surviving this years-long disruption. Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Liu will be followed by Hiroshi Yamaguchi, and then Chris Aha. Oh, Chris, you're going to have to help me with your name.
Hi, Carla.
Yes, thank you, Chris. Okay, welcome.
I'm Wilson Lee, representing the Little Tokyo Business Improvement District. Today you will be considering accepting the regional connectors, draft EIS, draft EIR, and accepting Metro Staff's fully underground alternative. We are seeking a postponement on this decision. The reason for it is that we don't believe that Metro Staff has adequately considered all the construction impact mitigation measures that's affecting Little Tokyo community. Our survey of over 1,222 stakeholders of the Little Tokyo community is currently supporting a no-build alternative. However, I'd like to leave with you, if I may, our survey summary and our comments on our mitigation impact concerns. Thank you.
Thank you. So then we have Hiroshi Yamuchi, followed by Chris Hara, and then Kristen Fukushima.
We can use this time?
We're going to reset the
time. Okay, thank you. Hi, good afternoon, everyone. My name is Hiroshi Yamauchi. I'm owner of a Japanese restaurant named Koraku on the 2nd Street, doing business in Little Tokyo 30 years. With the business owner group of Little Tokyo, would like to express the objection against plan of fully underground of 2nd Street. Instead, I will support the plan of no build. Why 2nd Street? That is the busiest street. So we are not opposing against the whole plan of subway construction. Our objection is the focused only against the plan of fully underground of 2nd Street. Because we and the all visitors will be suffered too much by this plan. And there are no good news to make us understand. So it is our honest petition to ask you to revisit fully underground alternative once again and to review other plans and other route, avoiding the route of a 2nd Street. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Chris Ihara, did I get that right? I'm working on it, Chris. And then Kristen Fukushima, there. And then Jeff Liu.
Thank you. My name's Chris Ihara. I'm the former chair of the Little Tokyo Community Council, which represents 100 stakeholders of the Little Tokyo community, including nonprofits, businesses, churches, and temples. We have been working on this regional connector project when it first was introduced to us over 2 years ago. And at that time, we were very concerned, obviously, with the impact to our historic community, especially the two build alternatives that were proposed. Since that time, we have been thoroughly looking at all of the options. We've been working with a consultant. We have been working on the draft EIR, EIS process. And we fully support the completely underground option as the locally preferred alternative. We really see that as the only option for this project. And we request to continue to be involved as the regional connector project moves forward. Thank you.
Thank you. So Kristen Fukushima, followed by Jeff Liu, and then it will be Craig, it looks like Craig Ishii.
Yes. Hi, my name is Kristen Fukushima. I'm the public policy coordinator at the Pacific Southwest District of the Japanese American Citizens League, and I'm also here representing LT Roots, which is a Little Tokyo young adults group. JCL and LT Roots both strongly support the fully underground build as the only acceptable alternative for the locally preferred alternative, as we believe it has the least amount of impact on our communities if there has to be a line going through Little Tokyo. We believe the other two build options are completely unacceptable. They are dangerous. They would be damaging to our community, and they have the potential for Little Tokyo to be lost forever. But we can, as Wilbur stated, only accept the fully underground build if we feel there are proper mitigations in place. There is a lot, and I think we've submitted a lot through public comment, but to specifically highlight a couple, one, a robust and appropriate business compensation and mitigation program or even fund. Businesses are a pillar in Little Tokyo's community and character, and we can't lose those. And then also, we would like to see the tunnel boring machine start on the west side, not in Little Tokyo, and just transparent and open dialogue.
Thank you. Thank you. We have Jeff Liu, followed by Craig Ishii, and then Joan Sue.
Good afternoon. My name is Jeff Liu, representing Visual Communications, a 40-year-old media arts center in Little Tokyo. I'm also a board member of the Little Tokyo Community Council. The regional connector is an incredibly emotional issue for the residents and businesses of Little Tokyo. 2 years ago, I was not in favor of any build option because of the potential negative impact on the community. However, Metro staff has been working closely with the Community Council for the past year and a half on a viable solution, the locally preferred fully underground option that will help link the city's rail system and remain sensitive to one of the nation's last remaining historic Japanese-American communities. We fully support the fully underground LPA as the only viable and acceptable option. However, a safety net must be made available to the businesses in the community to survive the construction period. Without the safety net, Little Tokyo as a cultural center will suffer tremendously. Thank you.
Thank you. And next, look, Craig Ishii. Did I get the name right, Craig? Yeah, Joan Sue, and then Eric Kurimura.
How are you? My name is Craig Ishii. I'm with the Japanese American Citizens League. We are a civil rights advocacy organization. I'm also a board member with the Little Tokyo Community Council, a coalition of 100 or so organizations. I'm just going to pretty much reiterate what everyone has said. The Little Tokyo Community Council and JCL, we support the fully underground option for the Metro Regional Connector, but we're very worried about businesses. As an individual earlier mentioned, we're concerned that even with an underground build, you know, how are our businesses going to survive the construction period? So we do hope that there will be serious concern given to some type of business compensation plan. We also hope that the tunnel boring will start at Second and Flower, and we hope that something maybe like a rail advisory committee, a RAC, or some type of continued communication with Metro would be good for the future. But we do appreciate all the communication that has happened thus far with MTA, so we appreciate that. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. So, June Sue. And by the way, I had two cards for you, so, but we'll combine them. You get to speak once. And after you, it'll be Eric Kurimura.
Okay, good afternoon. My name is Jun Su. I work at Little Tokyo Service Center. I was asked to share concerns about regional connector. Came out meetings with seniors from, you can see from Little Tokyo Towers, Casa Heiwa, San Pedro Firm Building, Miyako Gardens, Tokyo Villa. The seniors generally support fully underground alternative, but they have serious concerns about their environment and plan to continue to lobby for these concerns. The concerns are all station signs should be multilingual, English, Spanish, Japanese, and Korean, including ticketing machines and announcements on trains. Number two, safety issues during construction, like handicap access, rerouting bus routes, detours around construction areas need to be considered. Number three, good air quality during construction may necessitate installation of air filters, air conditions in building near construction. Number four, a telephone number should be shared with somebody they can call during construction. They will respond quickly to issues that arise. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you all. Eric Kurimura, followed by Chris Avatissian. I'm having problems with Chris's today. Chris Avatissian, it looks like. Okay. Welcome.
Thank you. Good afternoon. My name is Eric Kurimura. I'm a member of Nishihonganji Buddhist Temple, which is a stakeholder next to the Second and Central Underground Station. And the Buddhist Temple is in full support of the local, the LPA and the Underground Light Rail alternative. Also, I wanted to mention that I'm on the board of the Little Tokyo Community Council, and also I want to thank the Metro staff who's worked not only with the community, but with the temple to keep us informed with what is going on with this regional connector. As a stakeholder that was adversely affected by the construction of the Metro Gold Line extension, the efforts that Metro has gone through to keep us informed in the process and allow us the opportunity to give our input has been deeply appreciated. Again, thank you.
Thank you. Chris Avatissian, followed by Yukio Kararatani, and then Glenn Berryhill.
Chris Avatissian, CFO at the Los Angeles Times. We see the positive aspects of this project, and we see how it'll improve transportation options. We'd like the board to consider, or the planning committee to consider, the option of the Los Angeles Main Street instead of the Broadway Spring option. Here's three of the reasons why. From the renderings that we've seen, there aren't we couldn't identify proper parking, access to our parking structures, employee access to our building from the renderings that we've seen. So we have this concern. I'm sure a lot of people also have these concerns. We have 1,500 people coming out of the square. There's also a loss of parking and filming revenue, and in our business, it's hard to find supplemental revenues. So this is something that's key to us. This would have a material impact on our business. Lastly, there's an underground emergency backup storage tank. We don't think that the EIS has taken a look at the viable options there. Therefore, we ask you to consider the other option. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. And then, Yukio Kawaratani? Oh, you're going to help me, sir. And after that, Glenn Berryhill.
Yukio Kawaratani, a former downtown redevelopment planner. Last year, the Little Tokyo community strongly objected to the underground emphasis alternative because of its permanent adverse impacts. Early this year, the MTA board added the all-underground alternative. The draft EIS EIR has conclusively shown that the all-underground alternative is far superior and the locally preferred alternative. The Little Tokyo Community Council, representing many businesses and organizations, supports the regional connector and the locally preferred alternative. Some fearful Little Tokyo businesses are for the no-build alternative. I believe that the MTA will come up with mitigation measures that will assure their survival. The regional connector is too important for the region. I urge you to approve and proceed. Thank you.
Thank you. Glenn Berryhill, followed by Joanne Grace, and then Tracy, it looks like Tracy Shavira.
Good afternoon. Glenn Berryhill, Vice President of Property Management with Thomas Properties Group. Thomas Properties Group, also known as TPG, is the real property owner and property manager of the financial district projects located at 515 and 555 Flower Street, named as City National Plaza and Towers in the subject document, and 400 South Flower Street, known as the J2 Garage, collectively the adjacent properties. Both of these financial district properties are immediately adjacent to the proposed locations of the Los Angeles County Regional Connector Transit Corridor Project. TPG would like to register support for the fully underground LRT alternative. However, it is our understanding that the staff recommendation includes the elimination of the station proposed immediately north of 5th Street. Due to lack of funding, TPG requests that this station continue to be included in the final EIR and future studies so that this option to include the station is not completely eliminated at this time. A station in this location would be beneficial to and provide an important and needed connection to the center of the financial district and adjacent to the central library.
Thank you. Thank you. Of Joanne Grace, followed by Tracy Shavira and Jones Bringetti.
Joanne Grace, Metropolitan News Company. The staff has recommended acceptance of the draft EIR. How can it recommend acceptance of that which it knows to be defective? It has called for the taking of our buildings on Spring Street. Our business, the Metropolitan News Company, publishes newspapers. The draft proceeds on the notion that it is a restaurant. Restaurants can easily be moved. A newspaper publishing company with a 7-unit press in the basement cannot be. The draft does not mention the historic significance of the buildings. The one at Second Spring opened in 1896. Yet MTA refuses to acknowledge that the taking of our buildings under the true facts would not be appropriate. We are asked to sit and wait until the final EIR in September, in next summer. With the cloud hanging over the buildings, it's impossible to lease the vacant space and maintain the newspaper operations.
Thank you. We ask
you reject it. Thank you.
We have Tracy Shavira, followed by Jones Springetti, and then Dwayne Weisenhaus.
Good afternoon. Tracy Shavira, Central City Association.
I'd like to begin by acknowledging Metro staff and consultants for their professionalism and keeping this project moving forward. CCA strongly supports the fully underground alternative. Last week, we had the Downtown 2020 Symposium where we looked at what we want to see in downtown over the next 10 years and how we get there. Mr. Leahy was one of our panelists, and the common thread was transportation, improving transportation. And we feel that the regional connector is an important component to do just that. We understand the elimination of the 5th and Flower Station due to cost overruns. We certainly don't want to jeopardize the entire project. But because we continue to support transit access to the financial district, we agree to support the project as recommended in the board report with the understanding that Metro will enhance the 7th Metro Station to accommodate increased capacity and construct a north-facing portal to provide access to the financial district. In closing, we support the fully underground alternative. Thank you.
Thank you. Joan Springetti, Dwayne Weisenhaus, and then Kim Lu Ning.
Good afternoon. I am here on behalf of residents and businesses in the 100-year-old Higgins Building. It's on the path of the proposed connector and next to the proposed 2nd and Broadway station. We are very concerned that this document contains errors and relies on out-of-date information for key decisions. In doing so, it discounts the project's impact on our building and its hundreds of residents and businesses. That is not about creating a project that connects. It is a major disconnect. We and our neighbors are being asked to bear the brunt of a project that serves the entire region. We urge that you don't proceed with a document that feels rushed and sloppy, that you do minimize cut and cover, that you don't tear down a quarter block of buildings at 2nd and Spring for construction staging, that you don't undermine our life's investments to satisfy short-sighted strategies. Do it right or don't do it at all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We have Jones. Okay, right. Oh, wait. You were Joan, right?
Yes,
Joan. Yes. Okay, Dwayne Weisenhaus, followed by Kim Lu. And you're going to have to help me with the rest of your name, Kim. And then Brian, same thing, NG. Okay, welcome.
Yep. Good afternoon. Dwayne Weisenhaus, Weisenhaus Architecture, View Heights, Los Angeles. I will be moving to downtown in the next few months, both my residence and my business. I wanted to reiterate what the representative from Thomas's Properties Group said, that I think it's very, very important that we serve the financial district with the connector, and that's one of the major benefits of the regional connector. I do want to say that with the financial district, it is a special region where you do have the very highest concentration of use, and my concern is that you're going to lose a lot of ridership if you have that gap, and in particular, it's a very hilly area, and I do strongly recommend that we continue with the studies and include both versions within the study to allow the option of doing more review of the station in and out, and I think that would be ultimately beneficial for the city and for downtown.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Fasana?
Yes, I just have a question at this point. You know, the 5th and Flower station obviously has a great location. It's also $200 million in cost, and it does not really add anything in terms of the connectivity mission of the project. I know a lot of people want to see it retained. Is there any sense that there might be a monetary interest in terms of trying to help offset the cost of retaining the station, given the density there?
Director Fasana, I think the right thing to do is to assess all of the value engineering that we can do, and we will, in the initial analysis that we conducted for 5th and Flower, because of its proximity to 7th and Flower, we can make pedestrian enhancements that will most very, very well mitigate some of the issues and concerns. In the analysis, we also indicated that the cost effectiveness actually goes up, it's much more cost effective with one less station. We will continue value engineering and arriving to to the improvements that we can do without affecting the intent of the original connector.
Yeah, but Diego, excuse me, have we had any expressions of interest from the financial community in terms of willingness to participate financially?
That's my question.
Oh, I am sorry, I missed that.
Is there some sense, knowing that it's a $200 million cost increment and that you have a whole package of projects in the county?
We have explored that and talked to some of them. They have not indicated that kind of a commitment. They have indicated commitments of knockout panels and stuff like that, but not quite that. But certainly we're open. In value engineering, we will consider anything that we can balance the budget, balance the objectives of good transit planning, and see if we can maximize the benefits.
I'm just saying, I mean, if the cost increment was much smaller, I'd be inclined to keep it because I would see some benefit, but also the trade-offs of what we're trying to accomplish at this point, I'd be inclined to go with the staff recommendation to leave the station.
I have two more speakers, guys, so why don't I get through that? How's that?
That's fine. I've made my point.
Okay. Okay, Kim Liu, and how do you say your last name? It's followed
it's
by...
actually Kim Liu Ng, and Ng. She's not here today.
Okay,
and
so you're the last speaker then.
Brian Ng. I'm Bryant, and I'm the owner of the Spice Table on Central Avenue. We're currently under construction and plan to finish in a few months, and I'm against the fully underground scenario. This scenario will potentially take away my business and others on Central Avenue. I urge you to please consider the engineering options that do not take away my livelihood, as well as the livelihood of other mom-and-pop shops that are the soul of Little Tokyo. Thank you.
Thank you. So that concludes the public input on this item, so the items before the committee. Do we have questions? Any discussion? Okay, we're getting some clarification.
The item is before us, just on the issue of just the flower.
Your microphone. Got it.
Thanks. On the fifth and flower, the recommendation is to take it out. Is that correct? Savings on that is how much?
Actually, I was just conferring with Girish. I think that under the current estimate, I think it's like $80 million. It's not as high as
it's not
the $200 that was reported.
Or something, but somebody said $200.
I thought that's what I read. Maybe I
thought I read $130, $150. I never heard it in double-digit millions.
Mm-hmm. The number we know is $80
million. Correct.
So, still have a shortfall, even without that station, of another couple hundred million, correct?
That's correct.
That's what the value engineering is going to be all about?
That's correct.
That figure down to zero.
That's correct.
Yeah, we'll try to.
The big challenge.
Joke. I mean, this is to get the overage down to, so there's no overage, to get it within budget. That's
down to the budget, exactly.
Say. All right, thank you.
Comments? Mr. Fasana.
Again, whether it's $80 million, $150 or $200, I think I was looking at the cost effectiveness page and somehow I came up with the other number, which may be wrong. I'm inclined right now to take it out, but again, by the full board, if someone has an idea that there is significant private sector investment to offset most of that, then I think we'd have to look at it.
If you put it back in, your $200 million shortfall just went up to 280, if that's the number. 80 is the number. And
I'm saying you put it in with the revenue contribution.
Yeah. Okay. Have we ever had anybody in the private sector come up with $80 million? For a station? I'm just asking it seriously. On any of our subway, I mean, Kaiser put up some, I think, didn't they? But I thought that whole thing cost, so that's before your time.
It's before my time, right? I'm sorry.
I'm certainly not aware of it. I don't remember it ever occurring.
I think it's a good suggestion, John, but I just wouldn't, I wouldn't
bank on it
because, unless there's somebody between now and next Thursday who's going to show us some money, I think it's Chase. Anyway.
Okay. So do we want to make a recommendation to the board?
Move approval of the staff recommendation to go to the full board.
Second.
I know. Okay. Is there any other discussion or comments? Then without objection, this will be forwarded to the whole board with recommendation of the committee for on the staff recommendation. Okay, with that, that concludes item number 5, and now we will move on to item number 6, which has to do with the... I'm sorry. Okay, 5 and 6. Okay, CISC has to do with Regional Connector again. It's the cost plus, it's the contract for Phase 1 Advanced Conceptual Engineering and Preliminary Engineering.
I move approval of this item.
Okay. Is there any objection? No speakers and no objection, so this will be forwarded to the board also. Okay, now we will move on to item number 7, which has to do with the West Side Subway Extension Environmental and Locally Preferred Alternative. And we'll get our staff folks together on that and proceed with the staff report on this item.
Good afternoon. I'm Renee Berlin, one of the executive officers in Countywide Planning. I have with me today Dave Meeker, our deputy executive officer for the West Side Area Planning Team, who's the project manager for the West Side Subway, Dennis Morey, an executive officer in construction, and Dr. Jeffrey Martin, our senior member of Metro's Tunnel Advisory Committee. They will be briefly going over the staff recommendations, but what we're here today to ask you to do is to approve the West Side Subway Extension draft environmental document, approve the locally preferred alternative with the recommended options, and also to approve options number 2 and 3 with the PB Americas to perform the final environmental document and the preliminary engineering, as well as option number 2 with the Robert Group to facilitate community outreach. Finally, we're asking you to amend the FY11 budget by $5 million to support the PE. So with that, I will turn it over to Dave, Dennis, and Dr. Martin to briefly go over our recommendations.
Thank you, Renee. The last time we were at the board was January 2009. During the last year and a half, we've been conducting the draft EIS and then conceptual engineering. We started out with this map, which shows 17 miles of alignments over 38 square miles, all the way to from Santa Monica the beach to Hollywood and Highland on the Red Line connection and to Wilshire Western Station on the Purple Line. We looked at 5 different build alternatives in addition to the no build and TSM. 3 of them were Wilshire Boulevard extensions. Alternative 1 was 8.5 miles from Wilshire Western out to Westwood, UCLA. Alternative 2 went another 0.5 mile to the VA hospital. And alternative 3 took it all the way to 4th and Wilshire in Santa Monica. Alternatives 4 and 5 were allowances for a branch to West Hollywood, which would allow for another line to run from West Hollywood through the Wilshire line either to the VA hospital or all the way to the beach in Santa Monica. As the long-range transportation plan was approved in Measure R, the funding for this was not available, and therefore the staff recommendation that we're bringing forward today is alternative 2, which is the 9-mile extension of the Purple Line with 7 stations along Wilshire Boulevard from Wilshire Western to the VA Hospital in Westwood as the LPA. The costs of this are, in year of expenditure dollars, $5.15 billion. That's assuming a 2022 opening date, which would be our goal under the 3010 initiative. In the event that 3010 were not available, we would go with the LRTP dates, which would provide for a 3-phase project, Fairfax 2019, Century City 2026, and Westwood in 2036. In addition to the recommendation to go with alternative 2, we had 6 options that we have recommendations for in the LPA decision. These are station and alignment options. The first 3 at Crenshaw, at Fairfax, and at La Cienega, we have a firm recommendation for a station site in each of those locations that we're asking the board to approve. In the case of option 4, which is the Century City station and the alignments east and west of Century City, we are recommending that we narrow the number of alignments from 6 to 3, but keep both of the station options at Constellation and Santa Monica Boulevard for further study. and then with options 5 and 6, where we have two station locations in Westwood Village. We're recommending to keep both of those stations, and at the VA hospital to keep both of those for further study in the next phase of the work. I'm going to go briefly through those six just for a little bit of clarification. Option 1, the Crenshaw station, we are not recommending that that should be carried forward as a part of the LPA. The cost is $153 million, and it actually has a negative effect on our cost effectiveness. The number of riders that we would get at that station aren't sufficiently high to justify the expense under the FTA criteria. The supporters of this station like it because it actually provides a good connection to a future Crenshaw line and a Crenshaw bus line. However, that study has determined that better options exist further west at La Brea, La Cienega, so we're therefore recommending that that should be deleted from the study. Fairfax Station, we had two options, one east and one west of Fairfax. The reason was to move it as far west as possible to get it away from the methane gas deposits around the La Brea tar pits. However, there was a strong community consensus to move it further east to serve the museum complex with LACMA, the Peterson Art Museum, Page Museum, Craft and Folk Art Museum. We do believe it is possible to move it slightly to the east and actually span the intersection so that we would have portals on possibly on all four corners and serve the Craft and Folk Art and other institutions. So we are recommending that that station do be moved to the east location. At La Cienega Station, the City of Beverly Hills had a strong preference for the location east of La Cienega Boulevard, where it's a little bit denser, higher density, more commercial, less residential. That was the initial staff position. However, we were asked by many of the folks who supported a West Hollywood line to look at shifting the station to the west side of La Cienega to allow for a potential connection to a West Hollywood line with a transfer. We did look at the West Hollywood line. We're not recommending that the West Hollywood line go forward at this time, and therefore we believe we can support the Beverly Hills recommendation to put the station on the east side and to delete the connection structure that would be required for that connector to West Hollywood. Century City, this is perhaps the one issue that's been the most discussed and most evaluated over the last several months as we've gone forward with this analysis. The two station locations, one would be on Santa Monica Boulevard at Avenue of the Stars, or the other location would be about a quarter of a mile to the east at Constellation and Avenue of the Stars. We're recommending that both stations be carried forward. We think more work is required before a recommendation could be made for either of these stations. The issue on Santa Monica Boulevard has to do with the geotechnical issues, and Dr. Martin is here to answer any questions that the board might have about that, but we believe some additional geotechnical analysis is required before we could recommend a station in that location. We also have significant concerns with the Constellation station from folks that I believe you'll hear from today from City of Beverly Hills, where the Constellation station, not in the City of LA, but in the City of Beverly Hills, would pass under Beverly Hills High School and residential areas in that area, and there's a concern about that that needs to be further addressed. This is the alignment between Beverly Hills, Beverly Wilshire, Wilshire Rodeo Station, and either Constellation or the Santa Monica Avenue of the Stars. We're recommending that this alignment along Wilshire and Santa Monica be carried forward to support a Santa Monica station, and that one of the two alignments that would serve the Constellation station be carried forward. We're recommending the north alignment, Constellation North, be carried forward and the Constellation South be deleted. Constellation South goes under Good Samaritan School and more residential properties than Constellation North, and the relative length of those lines is only about 400 feet longer with Constellation North, so we believe the costs and the ridership are relatively the same, so we recommend an alignment be carried forward that has passes under fewer residential properties. And also then between Century City and Westwood, we had three alignments that we studied. We are recommending that the east alignment be carried forward as the preferred route, and that the central and the west be eliminated for further study. The west was included at the request of the community because it would stay under Santa Monica and Westwood and perhaps not go under as many homes. However, it's about a mile longer, has significantly higher costs, lower ridership, and it really didn't go under that many fewer homes. Between the central and the east alignment does go under a significant number of fewer homes and has the highest ridership and the lowest cost, so we're recommending that the east alignment be carried forward. Last two options in Westwood Village. We've been looking at an option on this property, which is the UCLA Lot 36, where the alignment would come down Lynbrook and have an off-street station in the UCLA parking lot. The other option is to keep the alignment on Wilshire Boulevard in the middle of the street and use the UCLA lot for construction staging to that. There are some advantages to being off street, to be able to put construction away from traffic. However, in Westwood Village, there's a lot of pending development proposals that may increase the cost of this alignment for us. So at this point, we believe we need to do further study to see what the real costs are of the two and whether we can actually successfully mitigate the impacts to traffic on Wilshire Boulevard. This is one of the busiest arterials we have in Los Angeles, so we have to stage construction to make sure that we can mitigate those traffic impacts before we could recommend that. And finally, the last option is the Westwood VA Hospital. This is the VA Hospital complex. We were asked to look at going one station west of the 405 in our scoping meetings a little over a year ago. We looked at it and found that it was a really good idea. We get about 8,000 boardings at this station, which would make it the second highest boarding station on this line, on this extension. And it also serves the VA Hospital, which is a major regional center for the veterans. However, there is a concern by the VA that we might be too close to the hospital, and they're concerned about the construction impacts and the activity that might occur right in front of their major hospital. So they've asked us to keep the north option alive for further analysis just north of Wilshire Boulevard. We think this northern option is about $92 million more expensive, so we're quite concerned about making that work within our budget. But we do want to take a real hard look at both of these station options before we bring a recommendation for a preferred site back to the board. We want to continue to work with the veterans and the VA.
Why is it that much more expensive?
It's longer and it's also deeper. It's hilly on the north side of Wilshire, so there's some up and down, so there's much more excavation up there and some utility issues. And also going under the 405 freeway, we cross under the interchange area in a way that's a little bit more expensive. But I think we have our own team working on the 405 HOV project who's doing a lot of construction work out there, so we believe during PE we need to take a little harder look at this and use the available data we have from them to get a better estimate on that. So I wouldn't hang on that $92 million just yet. Finally, in downtown Los Angeles, we do have a benefit. We do not have a rail storage or maintenance yard requirement for this project. Many of our other corridors have issues with locating those. We have an existing red line yard about a half a mile from this building along the LA River between 1st and 4th Street. We would plan to expand that facility to accommodate the new rail cars that we would need just south of the 4th Street Bridge, which is shown here. In terms of cost, we do believe we're in budget. According to the LRTP and Measure R, the budget we have is $4.2 billion in 2009. Alternative 2 is $4.358 billion, according to our current estimate. But if we do delete the Crenshaw station, that would be a savings of about $153 million, which would bring us back to our $4.2 billion target for the budget for this project.
These numbers escalated?
No, these are $2,009 dollars. So that $4.2 billion, if we use 3010 and go out to 2022, would be about $5.15 year of expenditure dollars.
Didn't you, on the downtown regional connector, use escalated figures on some of that? Or am I confusing it with something else? Why did you show escalated figures on that one and not on this one? Kind of reminds me of Phase 2 of Expo.
We've been actually reporting them both year of expenditure and current year dollars for both projects. I think it was the emphasis on the slide presentation, perhaps.
I mean, it makes a big difference when you when you look at an escalated number as opposed to not. And some projects go from $1.3 billion to $1.7 billion like that because of escalation, and others don't.
Mm-hmm.
And what's the reason for that? Is there a rationale?
Well, I think we're using the same escalation rates for both Regional Connector and West Side, so they'll both start with a base budget in 2009 and escalate it out. There's a different year of completion in the West Side. We're looking at 2022. I think the Regional Connector maybe is 2019. So they wouldn't have quite as many years of escalation.
But you showed escalation in that one. You don't show escalation on this one.
In our earlier slide, we showed it on the second or third slide as $5.15 billion as being our year of
All right. Sorry.
Just like the Regional Connector, we've just finished our public comment period. Monday was the end of our 45-day comment period. We did have 5 public hearings in late September, early October. We had 550 attendees at those 5 hearings, 125 speakers over 5 nights. And then we have received written comments, emails, and letters coming in this week since Monday. We're up over 500. I think we're close to 600 as of this meeting today, and those will continue to trickle in over the next few days. And those comments are all, of course, going to be answered in the final EIS, every comment that we receive. Some of the major issues that we've heard, even the folks that have problems with the corridor generally are supportive of it. We've had a tremendous amount of people saying we support the subway extension, we want to see it happen, and then we have issues that they'll bring up to us, but there's a large amount of support for it. We did hear from West Hollywood and Santa Monica that if there's any way that this could be extended, we'd like to see that. We don't have the money at this point, but there was support in both of those communities for further studies and further consideration of extensions into both of those areas. Significant concerns, of course, with the subway project, construction impacts and safety, probably the number one concern we've heard throughout the corridor, experiences that people had in the past. They want to make absolutely certain that we're going to do this the right way. We think we have a team that can do that, so we're putting that team together. Specific routing, the 2 major areas, Southwest Beverly Hills, the alignment to Constellation that would go under Beverly Hills High School, and the one that we're recommending would not go under Good Shepherd School, but the other alternative did. We've heard a lot of concern about that. And then the VA campus, we've heard a lot of concern from the veterans and folks about could we build a station there and preserve the climate and the calm that they're trying to maintain for the veterans and the healing that needs to occur in that campus. So we need to do work in that area too. And then the last concern is the economic hardship during construction. In our last subway projects, it really was commercial businesses along the streets who were hurt by construction. In this particular case, it's been more the residential. The concerns that if you have a house that's near an alignment, how would you be affected during the construction period with the being able to sell your property, the adverse effect it would have on your ability to sell or maintain that property during that uncertainty of during the construction period. And so we've heard that quite long. Last slide is just to summarize where we are in the schedule. With the board action in October, we would submit a request to FTA to start preliminary engineering and look to start that before the end of the year. And by this time next year, the fall, we would look to have the environmental clearance completed and be able to actually start with some of the early system work agreements that would allow us to do utility relocation, some early right-of-way, and some of the early work in construction. A full funding grant agreement in 2013, which would allow us to start construction either on that first 3-mile segment to Fairfax or on the full project 9 miles to Westwood. And that's the staff presentation.
Thank you. If there are no questions right now, we could move on to the public input portion of the item. Now, we do have a contingent of people from Beverly Hills who want to do a coordinated presentation, and we're going to allocate that to 15 minutes, and you all will sequence it, and we'll have the clock running here, and you will sequence the speakers as you wish. But we do have one other speaker independent, so why don't I call him up first, and that's Dwayne Weisenhaus. Mr. Weisenhaus, are you still here? Right. So you'll start us off, and then we'll move to the coordinated Beverly Hills presentation.
Yes, Dwayne Weisenhaus, Weisenhaus Architecture, View Heights, Los Angeles. I am speaking in favor of the Constellation Station in Century City. I know there's some issues that residents of Beverly Hills has in terms of the tunneling under some residential areas, and hopefully that can be resolved technically. But what cannot be resolved technically is where does the station need to be in Century City? As you know, Century City is one of our highest density areas of that would most benefit the success of Metro, and by locating it next to the country club at the edge of Century City, you're going to lose a lot of ridership, and it's in the south end of Century City, including the residential areas. So I think that this decision needs to take that into account in terms of what the ridership impact is going to be on Century City and how that's going to fit in with the Century City community, not having it where it needs to be in the center of the community.
Thank you, Mr. Weisenhaus. Okay, now we'll move on to the coordinated presentation from Beverly Hills. Again, we'll put 15 minutes on the clock for that. And we know that we have Councilmember Nancy Krasny. I don't know where you are going to fit into it, but we welcome you and we welcome everyone here. School board members, I know there are a few. And yeah, I would say we have some seats up front there. You can all stand for the 15 minutes, but then you kind of block some people's views, so you may want to think about how long you're standing up there. I mean, the individuals who aren't speaking. So, okay. We're all gathered together, pretty ready. Okay, so what we have to do it in 5-minute segments, Michelle? Right, we don't have 15 minutes, so we'll do 3 5-minute segments to help you count down. Okay, great. Welcome.
Well, let's get started. Councilmember Nancy Krasny, and former mayor. I'm ceding my time to Lisa Gorbatov, and we stand behind her and the Board of Education. But I'd like to ask you one question. Why did you spend close to $1 billion or hundreds of millions to redo Santa Monica Boulevard if it's on a fault line? You just did it. You just finished it, and it took 4 years. Lisa, take over.
Thank you, Nancy. Good afternoon. My name is Lisa Gorbatov, and I'm the Vice President of the Beverly Hills Board of Education. I come here today to speak truth to power. The first responsibility of a leader is to define reality. I, too, like all of you, am an elected official. I often have to balance many needs and wants of all my stakeholders to make an informed decision. Many times, those decisions are difficult and carry consequences. Leadership is action, not position. The best example of leadership is leadership by example. When does a decision become an emergency? Leadership will tell you. I believe that time is now. This is a crisis. The draft EIR report is a sham, plain and simple. It is not worth the paper it is written on. It is a report with gaping holes and glaring omissions and bogus assumptions. Our community now understands that we cannot rely on a report that is ordered, bought, and paid for by MTA to be completely honest, accurate, and transparent. After all, the consultants did not come up with the conclusions that MTA wanted to reach, would they be hired again? That is not a rhetorical question, but an obvious one. Indeed, it is politics as usual. How does an EIR report never mention or show that Beverly Hills High School even exists, all 22 acres? It is referred to as government lands. Maybe the 2,200 students, 500 staff are phantom also? How about a 4-acre square block district office building, also a mirage, just our imagination, more government lands? Measure E, our bond measure, is very, very real. All $334 million of it that our generous citizen voted to pass in 2008. This bond will be seriously impaired with subway tunnels running under the district office building and our only high school, also our official disaster site. We plan to spend nearly $150 million to rebuild an aging high school built in the 20s and 30s. We plan in theory to go down at least 3 levels of underground parking. This will free up existing parking structures to be torn down to become precious and limited open green spaces. Underground parking will help ease the flow of cars and traffic in the immediate vicinity of the high school. It will allow for safer ingress and egress. It will control who gains access to the high school and control our kids leaving campus at all times of the day. Lastly, it will allow us the space to place utility rooms, mechanical rooms, and have general storage. Subway tunneling will allow for only 2 levels of subterranean parking, with only a 30-foot clearance between the two. In short, we have our plans and we pay our own freight. And MTA should not dictate to this community how we allocate our bond money and what we build. The residents want public transportation. Our board, our city council, and our community enthusiastically support the subway to the sea. But MTA should use the public right-of-way, Santa Monica Boulevard. I do not live on subways nor any subway far into the future. I do not live anywhere else but in Beverly Hills, but I do not live in a bubble either. My mentors are my parents, Selma and Len Fish, though they are lifelong residents of Beverly Hills, started the Downtown Property Owners Association, Santee Maple Alley Association, and the Fashion District BID. The example my parents lived and continue to live are one of giving back and caring about the greater good. But in this matter, I cannot worry about phantom riders or shoppers. I cannot worry about angering politicians or upsetting a developer in Century City. I do weigh costs and benefits. Good plans will shape good decisions. Is it worth it to our community to have a subway at any cost, to bear any burden, to pay any price for a subway to the sea? The answer is definitely no. Nobody should ask this community to imperil their physical assets or their most treasured asset, their children, in the name of commerce. Endangering our kids, whether an earthquake, terror attack, oil leaks, methane gas, or anything else unforeseen, is a price we are not willing to pay. My board and our community are reasonable. MTA is not. Beverly Hills is a community that takes care of its own and looks to take care of others. We are, in short, good neighbors, is MTA. There are those who will fall back on the easy slurs. Beverly Hills people are a bunch of NIMBYs who are rich and entitled and very, very noisy. Well, NIMBYs don't have a functioning oil well in the backyard of a high school. Fully 50% of our residents are renters, and the apartments they rent would by and large not be considered luxurious. Nearly 8% of our residents live below the poverty line, according to the 2000 census. A good number of our parents are single moms and dads, struggling, working more than one job to make ends meet. Beverly Hills actually is very diverse, and there is no doubt where this community stands. We cannot ignore the facts any longer. The truth is out. Beverly Hills residents do not want tunneling under our high school, district office building, or any residential properties in the Southwest. Not when there is a viable alternative, Santa Monica Boulevard. I want to say unequivocally that our school board wants all to know that not only is Santa Monica the preferred route, but that any other route that endangers our high school and our students and staff is wholly unacceptable. To speak in a weaker voice and to parse our words will almost certainly invite the wrong decision by MTA. The school board may have to spend dollars, hundreds of thousands of dollars, on litigation with MTA. Those are education dollars that will leave the classroom. The school board has spoken in the strongest of terms, and we will not shrink from this controversy. The community of families will expect this board to fight in the courts of California, and more profoundly in the court of public opinion. We will go to Washington, D.C. if we must, to enlighten the powers that be that what federal transportation dollars are really going to buy is litigation. There is nothing more precious to me than my children, not just my three daughters, but the nearly 5,000 kids that this board has pledged to educate, protect, nurture, and safeguard. I do not think that any one of you in my position would react any differently or take any other position but to oppose a tunneling under our high school. Thomas Jefferson summed it up. In matters of style, swim with the current. In matters of principle, stand like a rock. Thank you.
My name is Dr. Brian David Goldberg, and I'm an elected member of the Beverly Hills Unified School District Board of Education. I am pleased to report that the entire Board of Education and our entire City Council stand united in our opposition to any route that tunnels under our high school, district office, and Good Shepherd School. In my 3 years on the Board of Education, I have learned to follow the money. There has been a lot of talk about the EIR. In reality, an EIR report has very little value because the client is the entity tasked with requesting and paying for that report. No EIR report can guarantee the safety of our schools and district property. There is nothing in the EIR report that changes my mind or view that this is bad for Beverly Hills Unified School District, bad for our students, and bad for our community. For me, this is a very simple decision. As a trustee for the district, there is absolutely no benefit for our students, staff, or community for tunneling under our school, district office, and high school. None. In fact, the alternate route limits the district in our plans for modernization at the high school and district office property. The voters of Beverly Hills passed a $334 million bond in 2008 with the understanding we would address critical issues facing our schools and community, including seismic and health and safety issues and parking. If you decide to tunnel under our high school and district office property, you will be severely limiting our ability to fully develop and modernize our schools. For me, that is as far as the analysis needs to go. What frustrates me is that the MTA has the original route down Santa Monica Boulevard, supported by the majority of the community. And it was the route used to sell Beverly Hills on the subway, a route that completely avoids tunneling under our district office and high school. So why is MTA considering these alternate routes? Follow the money. Century City developers want a subway stop in front of their properties to increase the value of their development projects. They are working hand in hand with MTA and locally elected officials to convince us that there is a public benefit from moving the route a few hundred feet because this will increase ridership. In reality, this change is all about personal profit and greed. At last week's board meeting, my colleagues joined me in giving direction to our staff to work with BHUSD attorneys to draft a letter requesting a formal opinion from the State Attorney General on this matter, the matter of tunneling under our state-owned property. In the meantime, I support the district taking all legal means available to block the MTA from tunneling under our district property. The MTA staff is moving along with their recommendations for the alternate route, but in deferring a final decision until more information on a fault under Santa Monica Boulevard is further examined. I guess the Inglewood fault that exists under our high school is not a concern for the MTA. There are glaring holes and omissions in the draft ERA that put the health and safety of nearly 2,200 students and over 300 staff members at risk. I want to thank you for your time and consideration. It is my hope that the MTA board will make the right decision and use the original route proposed in Santa Monica Boulevard. If you choose that as the LPA, Beverly Hills can continue to stand united in our support for the subway to the sea and the 3010 plan. We prefer to be your allies in this project. Ultimately, it will be your choice.
Good afternoon. My name is Ken Goldman. Why are we here? A few months ago, Metro proposed an alternative to the alternative they had considered for years. This new route would tunnel directly under the middle of Beverly Hills High School. 2,500 students and teachers under the Beverly Hills Unified School District Administration offices, Good Shepherd Catholic Schools at school, and under homes. Why? It's all because Metro wants to move the subway station one block. One block. That's it. That's what this is all about. And moving it one block, 0.2 miles, requires tunneling under the high school. And moving it one block will cost Metro $60 million more and involve two very tight turns. Metro claims two reasons. One is increased ridership and convenience for one block. But it's easy to provide a moving sidewalk or shuttles to take people one block. They walk more than that for lunch to the Century City Shopping Center. And the ridership didn't seem so important at the Westwood stop, where the Westwood stop is more than four times as far from the 67,000 students and staff at UCLA. The other reason is a supposed seismic concern. You've already heard how much we've already spent on modernizing Santa Monica Boulevard. City of Los Angeles just gave entitlements to a 35-story office building exactly at Santa Monica Boulevard and Avenue of the Stars, where the original subway station was going to be. And how much protection is it going to give the subway to move one block in the event of a major seismic concern? I've handed you letters signed by all the members of the Beverly Hills City Council, by the superintendent of the Beverly Hills Unified School District, speaking for a unanimous school board, supporting the West Side extension, but vigorously opposing tunneling under the high school. We're not NIMBYs. There's a perfectly good alternative, Santa Monica Boulevard, which Metro had chosen for years. Our entire community is...